everybody. This is Armand DeMille back with you with The Positive Mind. Tuesdays and most Wednesdays here on WBAI 99.5 FM in your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Communication. Communication, the focus today. Yes. As we said, many letters, and we've been, since we've been doing fundraising and other things, reports to the listeners, and then fundraising, there's been little chance that I've had to take many of your calls, which we will be doing today, because the subject comes up about listening. It's about communication. What's interesting is that when the callers call, our callers tend to be fairly flexible, sensitive human beings, not stuck in one direction or another. But one wonders in society, when you listen to people and how they communicate, what's going wrong? Especially what goes wrong between men and women when they try to communicate. I say males and females. Men and women are in different wavelengths when it comes to communicating. Now, that's not news to you, I know. The difference between the communication styles of men and women go far beyond learning and what you've learned since you grew up and what you've modeled, but appears to be inherent in the basic makeup of each sex. A woman named Dr. Deborah Tannen, back in 1990, did some strong observations studying videotapes that another researcher had made of best friends. They took best friends in a college, and they had the best friends boys and the best friends girls. And they asked the young men to, can we videotape you? Having a communication. And the men were very uncomfortable with this request.
Whereas the young woman would face each other and immediately begin to speak, eventually ending up discussing the problems of one of the girls.
That's Linda Vanello, who's with me today. Boys, on the other hand, sat parallel to each other, and they jumped from topic to topic, centered around a time when they would do something together. So they kind of talked about the future, but an activity seemed to be what they would do more. For males, conversation is the way you negotiate your status in a group. Now, this is not just power. You're negotiating your status. Where do I fit in this world? And that's what a man wants to determine. He wants to determine, where do I fit? Am I on top? Am I in the middle? Am I on the bottom? I just want to know my position. Conversation is the way you keep people from pushing you around. You learn styles of communication that even if you are in a weaker position, you learn how to get yourself back to a strong position. By listening, perhaps, you know, by the Andrew Carnegie method, or whatever, the Dale Carnegie method, or the Andrew Carnegie method. Now, so for men, you use talk to kind of declare your independence.
And for women, on the other hand, we use conversation to negotiate closeness and intimacy. Talk is the essence of intimacy, so being best friends means sitting and talking.
For men, activities, doing things together, are central. Just sitting and talking is not an essential part of relationships. Men are friends with the men that they do things with whom they do things.
It's not hard from even these simple observations to seek the potential problems when men and women communicate. Women create feelings of closeness by conversing with their friends and their lovers.
Men don't use communication that way. So they can't figure why their women are continuously talking, talking, talking. Eventually, many men just tune women out. This image of the housewife at the breakfast table talking to her husband, who has his head buried in the newspaper, comes to mind. Men are confused by the various ways women use conversation to be intimate.
I call this troubles talk. For women, talking about troubles is the essence of connection. I tell you my troubles, you tell me your troubles, and we're close.
Yes, yeah, so this is so familiar, you know, Linda. So I listen to most women speaking to women about worry. It's here's my problems, what's your problems? Here's my problem, what's your problem? Now, most of the men I know hear troubles as a request for advice. So they respond with a solution, inevitably. So you say to them, you know, oh, my house needs to be painted, and they'll tell you how to get it painted. As opposed to, oh, it must be miserable living with an old house. You know, which is different. It's a different kind of compassion. So men in general hear everything as something that needs a solution.
And when a man offers this kind of information, the woman often feels as if he is trying to diminish her problem or cut her off. The man doesn't realize that she is simply trying to establish a certain kind of intimacy with him, inviting him to reciprocate and share himself with her.
Because of these essential differences in approach, the most common complaint from men about women is that women complain all the time and they don't want to do anything about it. Men misunderstand, which in many ways is the nature of women's complaining, which in many ways is like a ritual of togetherness. When women are getting together and they are complaining, it's not just complaint. You're talking about, and if you listen to it and it had a sound to it, it probably would have a song, probably sound like whale singing, you know, in the ocean, probably that, a sing-song kind of discussion that's a communication. Now, we've also learned that there's a lot of hormones that respond to communication of this kind. Females, right, will increase their more valued hormones by having discussions at length. And sometimes what you talk about doesn't matter, but the hormones matter, you know. Serotonin goes on the rise when you have a long discussion. And how do you engage somebody in a discussion? It becomes a trick. I'll give you something to talk about. You must be able to respond to it. Now, I'm not going to give you something to talk about that you can't say anything about. If I give you a dead-end conversation, then there's no serotonin exchange going to go on here. I have to give you an open-ended conversation, and one that I would give you is one that's familiar with you so that you can comment on it. And then I could comment back to it, and then the two of us could talk back and forth, and you could ask me for details, and I could give you details, and all during that time we're raising our serotonin level. Men, on the other hand, do not raise their serotonin this way.
There's an interesting dance that comes from this approach. The woman, wanting closeness and intimacy with her man, talks to him about her problems, her friends, her family, her job, etc. She seeks to have her man respond as her girlfriends have always done and talk with her about his similar concerns.
The man, however, hears these conversations as requests for advice, not intimacy. He considers the problem and offers a solution, dismisses the issues. When the woman continues to go on about these same concerns, showing no movement to consider his advice, he becomes confused and eventually angry. He begins to believe that the woman, all expert at talking about nothing, they all become expert at talking about nothing. We talked about that, didn't we? Didn't we cover that already? Familiar theme for many men.
And the woman begins to feel that her man doesn't care about her because he won't talk to her in a way that feels intimate. It is important for women to understand that men's communicating is mostly about status. The prime goal of male animals is to be able to mate. To do this, he must be powerful enough to challenge the lead males in nature.
As they grow up, they bide their time by establishing a pecking order, men do. When an animal is big and strong enough to have the most of the males under him, He's ready to take on the old man, the head of the tribe. If he wins, he gets to mate with the females of his choice. Human males behave in exactly the same way. Marjorie Goodwin, who studied boys in Philadelphia for a year and a half, she found that boys give orders as a way of gaining social status. The high-status boys gave orders just to maintain their dominance, not because they particularly needed the thing done. Hey, get me that basketball. Hey, do over that. Hey, do that. It's just establishing your dominance. And the boys who were being told what to do were of low status by virtue of doing what they were told, but they understood their position. Because remember, even in this conversation, it's not so much being dominant, it's establishing your position that counts for the man. This dynamic is important to remember when looking at another major area of miscommunication between men and women. Women cannot understand the resistance that some men seem to have when they're asked for assistance or consideration of some kind or another. You know, I want to talk to you about my cousin's wedding. It might be, women might remember the scenario and understand that for men, doing what they're asked to do means that they've lost status in the relationship. You see, if someone asks you a question of what to do, then they're asking you to do something, and by the way you're trained, you are now lower in your status just because you're being asked to do something. Because the ones higher on the status do the asking to do. Okay, now, of course, this is training, and we don't want to live this way. I want to never resent being asked to do something. But there is this kind of resistance that takes place. Men have a gut-level resistance to doing what they're told. In doing that, someone expects them to do. It's the opposite response to what women have. Because women are always want to be helpful in some way. But if a man is going to be reactive, it's more likely to go in the reaction of the negative than it is in the positive when he's being asked to do something. Whereas if a woman is unsure of herself, she's always more likely to go in the direction by accommodating. See, so the difference between men and women. If a man's resistance comes up, he's likely to go in the level of his resistance. Women are more likely to go in the direction of the accommodating, not because they're weaker, but because this is the way that we are trained. This is the way that we're bred. In sharp contrast to this, men seek to establish and maintain status and dominance.
Now, everybody prefers that their partners do what we want them to do. But for women, we want them to want to do what we want. Remember, men seek to establish and maintain status and control.
So that's a very interesting thing, Linda. Women want their men to want to what?
To do what we want.
What you want them to do. So in other words, you want me, I ask you for something. Mm-hmm. Or you ask me for something, and then I want to do it for you.
Right.
Well, I feel that way. You ask me for something, if Lauren asked me for something, I want to do it for you. I don't have this automatic response, but I remember times when I had an automatic, oh, what a pain in the butt this is. Oh, what's coming next? Huh. Okay. Well, this is Armand DeMille with you with Linda Vanilla. We're talking about in the positive mind. We've been talking about communications between couples. It's kind of interesting because I conduct a men's group. And in this men's group, by which, by the way, I'm going to start another one soon, which I haven't done for years. It'll be meeting in the evenings. But men's groups are fascinating because I watch the men communicate. And the men seem to have no trouble in their communication or after a period of time. Women communicating with other women have this very interesting phenomenon that goes on. You see, when a woman communicates that what she is trying to do is to say there's part of a consensus. Now, this is an important thing. Women talking to women do not allow themselves or are not encouraged to stand out above a crowd. Because if you were encouraged to stand out above your group, then they will talk about you and they'll scathe you and they'll reject you. So what women are looking to do is to find consensus. I want your approval, they want within their group. Men are competing for status. I want the approval of the guys who are bigger than me, and I don't care about the guys who are less than me. But among women, there's usually a kind of a desire to have this thing. Now, this is very interesting because to women, to stand out is anathema. It's dangerous. It's you're going to get castigated. You're going to get thrown out. So women tend to stay within a fold because of their need to be part of the tribe of women, you know, who are doing all the support. It would not have paid in the early days for one woman in the cave to stand out above all the others, to be the prettiest, to be the most desirable. You wouldn't live very long. You know, the other women would stone you. Where the men were always competing for who's the strongest and who's not, but it was not a woman's genetics to do that. So therefore, women have one communication style, which is, I want to be accepted and I want to be part of this. Men have this other style, which is, I want to be independent and I want to be above this. But when women talk to men, they're expecting men to be like they and say, oh no, you want consensus too. You want to be part of this. You want to be equal to this. And the men are expecting it's a competition. If you ask me to do something, you're trying to knock me off my position. Well, little things happen when you don't expect them. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to have to take a very, very, very short break, and we'll be right back.
She said, I know what it's like to be dead. I know what it is to be sad. And she's making me feel like I'll never belong. I said, who put all those things in your head? Things that make me feel that I'm mad. And you're making me feel like I've never been wrong. She said, you don't understand what I said. I said, no, 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 you're wrong. When I was a boy, everything was right.
So we gotta go back.
Everything was right. I said, even though you know what you know.
Making me feel like I've never been born. You don't understand what I said. I said, no, no, no. You're wrong.
Everything was right. Everything was right.
I mean, that's more profound than you think. You know, men grow up, and then when I was a boy, everything was right. It was okay. We knew what we were doing. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We had to take a short break there because something happened in the studio. Small thing. We went to fix it. Isn't it convenient that we have such music available? He said, she said. Well, we're in the middle of doing a communication between males and females. Do you think that's all luck? You think that just happens? Or do you think there's some master plan? Boy, so consensus. By the way, our telephone number is 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls in a few minutes. So now get this essence of the difference. The essence of the difference is I want you, I want, if I'm going to talk to you as a man, we're going to talk about doing something together or something we've done. We're going to be shoulder to shoulder. We're going to be looking at something together. We'll look at TV together. We'll watch a sports together. I get the feeling, the good feeling, by just having watched with you. You know, men go with each other to a football game. The experience is we have had a great time, even if they never spoke. You don't have to talk. You don't have to do anything. Women, on the other hand, need the communication. They want to talk. They want to have this conversation take place because they get something from it. There is nothing wrong with any of this, except that the men think that this is the way the women should be. Hey, why don't we just go look at the sunset together and shut up? What do you mean you want to talk about your mother? What about the sunset? You know, what about what we're going to do? What about our trip? So what would happen eventually? I guess the men would realize, wait, her need to do this is important, and her need to speak and be understood is essential. Okay, so now I could be a really good guy and give her that magnanimously. I am going to be such a hero that I will let my woman talk about nothing, and I'll sit there and make believe I'm listening to her, and I'll judge her as stupid. But I'll let her talk anyway, and that'll make her feel better, and she'll give me better sexual favors and make me a better dinner. That's one solution. A lot of men do that. Passive-aggressive men do that a lot. You know, they listen like they listen to mommy talk about daddy all the time. And when they used to, usually passive-aggressive men have had mothers who were scathing of their fathers. And so you could hear them talking, you could hear them nodding their head, oh yeah, daddy was bad, daddy was bad, daddy was bad. But somewhere inside themselves, they're holding a seething anger that's going to manifest later. So that's one way. As a man, what you could do is just simply say, I'll make believe I'm listening. Now, as a woman, what you could do, on the other hand, when talking to men, is do these make-believe you're a powerful guy things. Oh, God, yes. This is a wonderful thing we're looking at. This is terrific. You're very strong. Yes, you're very mighty. And you say things that are silly, like making them monkeys. You know, oh, look at the hair on your chest. Oh, you have a great voice. Ah, I love your hair. I mean, this is things that the little monkeys do with the male monkeys. But the male monkeys aren't getting very fed by it, because as soon as the female monkey asks the male monkey to do something, he feels like he's in the competition for his life. So what does the male monkey do? The male monkey says the following. He says, I wonder what this is that women get from really talking. Let me dip into this well. And you dip into the well of a deep, everlasting, seems like everlasting, probably 20 minutes, conversation about something that seems meaningless to you. But go in it. And now go in it with no advice. Have no advice whatsoever. Have no advice. Don't judge, don't advise, because that's the tendency of every man. And just see what it's like to be filled this way. It's a very interesting feeling. It'll take you a while to get it. But you could tell the truth. You could say, you know, I'm trying to hear you as one of your best friends would. And it's a little difficult for me because I don't understand all this, but I am trying my best, so you keep telling me as much as you could. Women, on the other hand, what do you think they could do, Linda?
Well, I think both sexes need to understand better the inherent differences in their communication style so that they don't expect the impossible. There is a middle ground where men and women can meet and find understanding. Women need to learn that the kind of intimate talk that they have with their girlfriends maybe should remain just that. Trying to turn your man into a girlfriend will usually fail because men in general don't create feelings of closeness in that way. So I think a basic understanding of these inherent differences will teach us all to be perhaps more understanding, more tolerant, more encouraging, and become better listeners.
It is not to say that all women are like this or all men are like this. By the way, please spare me any judgments about me saying people, you know, women are weak or women need men. This is just this broad generalization, but it's what comes to my attention a great deal, especially with couples in trouble. I have certainly met enough women who are strong enough not to need, or they function differently, and enough men who are very sensitive to go the other direction. But on the other hand, what the women could also do is to see, what's it like to be him? And one of the interesting things you find that takes place is on the golf course. On the golf course, which I think is a silly sport, but some people love it. But on the golf course, a woman goes on the golf course and she's really joining almost equal to the man in what's going on. And so she gets a feeling of what it's like to hit a ball and walk a mile for where the ball is and then hit it again. And there's not much conversation. You're certainly not going to have social conversation. Oh, did you see the way he hit his ball? Did you see the flag they were carrying? You see their golf clubs? None of that goes on. But you get a chance to see what it's like from the other side. If you go to a baseball game and you go side by side, see what it's like not to talk about any problems. Just see what it's like. And don't criticize the pinstripes either. Just see what it's like to be there and to get that energy. And that's an interesting thing as well. So we got both ways. Men can try it out, and women could try it out, and you don't have to push yourself too far as long as you're honest with your mate and say, I understand it. I understand your cousin is having a bridal shower, and you're upset about finding the right card for your cousin's bridal shower, and you've been searching for a day and a half to find the right card because your cousin happens to be the relative of a split marriage, and you just, it's so convoluted and so confusing. But it may be important to you. So if it's important to you, why not? I'll go along with it as well. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Our telephone number, we're going to take our calls right after our break. We have a little music for you today. Our telephone number today is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. We're with you today and tomorrow, and next week we're with you on Tuesday and Wednesday as well at 1 p.m. Of course, all the archives can always be gotten through WBAI.org immediately, or you can go to our website, thepositivemind.com. Through thepositivemind.com, you might join the WBAI Positive Mind Facebook, which has got some very active, interesting people conducting some very strong research of their own, doing surveys, asking each other questions. It's kind of an interesting group, with every now and then some person getting in there and messing it up, you know, they're just doing a thing to it. But it's worthy of attention. It's a bunch of people in there, in a sense, trying their very best. So here's the question. What do you find most difficult in your communications with men and with women, no matter who you are? 212-209-2900. We'll take your calls as soon as we get back. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, a little music, and then we'll go to your questions. We'll be right back.
Go.
More time.
trouble. You turn off a light when all been left me. It just ain't right. Well, it's over. I know it, but I can't let go. Around every corner, something I see brings me right back how I used to be. Well, it's over. I know it, but I can't let go. It won't take me back when I come around. Says it's sorry, then it pulls me out. I got a big chain around my neck, and I'm broken down like a train wreck. Well, it's over. I know it, but I can't let go. It won't take me back when I come around. Says it's sorry, then it pulls me out. I got a big chain around my neck, and I'm broken down like a train wreck.
And that is Lucinda Williams. Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. Can't Let Go. Hey, we're going to take your calls in just a minute, 212-209-2900. But one more thing, you know, it happens to children. It happens to you when you try to step out of that uniqueness. So one of the things that happened to women is when they try to assert themselves as leaders, they get judged by the rest of their group. And, you know, if you're standing out, look, what does she think she is? Who does she think she is, right? Men don't say that about each other. Who does he think he is? They look at somebody trying to establish some kind of status and they may mock him, but they don't say who does he think he is, because they have a kind of an almost respect for the process of somebody trying to step up. Now, that's a real big difference between men and women. And clearly it goes back to childhood. Clearly something happens to us as kids where our creativity gets lost. Reminded me of a poem that was sent to me by the 16-year-old a long time ago. And I'm going to ask Linda to read this. You stay with us a second, okay, Linda? Give you just a little something in the back here. Good. Ready?
Yes, I am ready. He always wanted to explain things, but no one cared. So he drew. Sometimes he would draw and it wasn't anything. He wanted to carve it in stone or write it in the sky, and it would be only the sky and him and the things inside him that needed saying. And it was after that he drew the picture. He kept it under his pillow and would let no one see it. And he would look at it every night and think about it. And when it is dark and his eyes were closed, he could still see it. And it was all of him, and he loved it. When he started school, he brought it with him, not to show anyone, but just to have it with him, like a friend. It was funny about school. He sat in a square brown desk, like all the other square brown desks, and he thought it should be red. And his room was a square brown room, like all the other rooms. And it was tight and close and stiff. He hated to hold the pencil and chalk with his arms stiff and his feet flat on the floor, stiff. With the teacher watching and watching, the teacher came and spoke to him. She told him to wear a tie, like all the other boys. He said he didn't like them. And she said that it didn't matter. After that, they drew. And he drew all yellow, and it was the way he felt about morning. And it was beautiful. The teacher came and smiled at him. "What's this?" she asked. "Why don't you draw something like Ken's drawing? Isn't that beautiful?" After that, his mother brought him a tie. And he always drew airplanes and rocket ships just like everyone else. And he threw the old picture away. And when he lay out alone looking out at the sky, it was big and blue and all of everything, But he wasn't anymore. He was square inside and brown, and his hands were stiff, and he was like everyone else. And the things inside him that needed saying didn't need it anymore. It had stopped pushing. It was crushed, stiff, like everything else.
Two one two two zero nine two nine hundred. Taking your calls about communication. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, my name is Dee Dee. I've called in before. How
Hello,
are you?
Dee Dee, I'm good.
Well, the issue that I have is so complex, and I love this topic that you have. I mean, when you mentioned the topic about communication between men and women, I just went in so many different directions, and I'm going to try to put everything all into one ball. What do you do with a guy who wants to be around a woman who is in control of herself, and he appreciates the help that he gets from her whenever he wants it, pretty much, and she doesn't mind giving it, but at the same time, if the woman is giving him advice and help that is going to possibly change him to be more of who he wants to be, there's resistance on all levels as this woman trying to control and take over him and change him into something he doesn't want to be. But at the same time, this person wants help on all kinds of, you know, all levels that I could think of.
Sure. Now, what you're not saying is what she gets out of it. What does she get out of the relationship? So far, he's the only one getting the benefits.
That's right.
No, that's not true. First of all, how much younger is he? 11 years?
Is it 12? 12.
He's 12 years younger. Okay. How do I know that?
I know you.
Okay. Okay, here we go, Dee Dee. We're in the dance.
Okay. See, is this a good dance or a bad dance? It sounds pretty bad.
It's
but
no. It's a dance.
I like to help.
What does age really matter except if it's abusive? But here's what you got. You got somebody who likes a strong mama.
Exactly.
But it's the nature of boys to resist their mama. That's how they grow to be. So what you do is you go out there and you hire a strong mama, and then you resist her, and that helps you gain your own identity. It may take you a lifetime to do it. Now, in the meantime, she is practicing her muscle by trying to force somebody to do something when she could never do that as a kid. You know, obviously you don't feel safe in this world.
Around two people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for the most part, you know, no, I don't like being out there. I just feel like I'm out there. Let's put it that way.
You're just out there.
Yeah, just out there, unless I'm around like a couple of people that I know and love.
Have you ever been part of a women's group?
I don't like being around women, really.
No, women you don't like, period, right?
Well, I won't take it that far. The few that I do have in my life, we all pretty much think the same.
Right. I understand. Well, that's a good thing that you have that in your life. But, you know, there's a variation that you're missing, Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a safe, comfortable niche. You're the man who's younger. He's going to behave in a certain way, and he's going to stay that way. He's not going to change.
You know, and that's what I keep telling him. So I've been trying to gingerly break off.
Why don't you just celebrate him the way he is?
Oh, no.
And stop telling them to change and see what it's like. Don't hire somebody to get them to change.
Armand, trust me. He needs a change for his own good, not for mine.
I understand. So see what you could enjoy in this man with him not changing and go elsewhere with the rest of you.
That's what I'm trying to do, and that's what I've tried to tell him, that he should definitely go where he will be much more appreciated for who he is.
Yeah, but you see, that's no good, because as soon as you tell him to do something, he resists it. So the best way for you to keep him around is to tell him he should go off somewhere. If you told him to go off somewhere, he would stick around, but if you told him, right, that you wanted him to stay with you, he would go off.
Oh, okay.
It's just a simple strategy. Just say, I really want you here all the time, you know. It's really terrific. You'll see they slide out the back door.
Oh, okay. Great. Thanks for the advice.
Dee Dee, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Listen, Dee Dee. My respect is always there. No matter what you do, no matter how you get through, people get through however they are. You are not an abusive person.
No.
So not being abusive and being a loving person that you are, I don't judge anything you say.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
212-209-2900. I was off by a year there, Linda. You see that? I thought it was an 11 year. She said 12. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand Mill. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand. Tony from the Bronx.
Hi there, Tony.
Good, good. Do you ever think that we as a listener sometimes don't listen or don't learn from you? This is an example of someone who has. I remember you said once that people inherently they want to learn on their own. It's a human thing. We want to learn on our own. We don't want to be forced or taught anything. And that was huge for me. You know what? I'm in a 10-year relationship, and one of the things that is working for us is I just leave her alone, and she leaves me alone. We don't judge each other, and we don't tell each other what to do. And one way or another, it's working. It's almost 10 years that we're together, and it's a peaceful, loving, supportive relationship.
Now, you've learned a lot, because the one before that wasn't.
Oh, absolutely. Two before that weren't.
Yeah.
So I'm not pretending that I learned. It's a lot of years of doing it the wrong way. Finally, about 20 years of doing it the wrong way, and now the way that I do it now is just, leave her alone. Except, the better way to say it is, I accept her the way she is, and I don't have to understand her, or I don't have to, I don't have to answer everything. I don't have to figure everything out. I just have to accept her the way she is, and as a result, she does the same for me. It's by being that to her, she does that for me instinctively, and as a result, don't get me wrong, it's not a perfect. Nothing is perfect. We have issues, but it's not a volatile, cancerous, negative relationship like the ones that I've had in the past.
And I
got a lot of that from that saying that you said about not trying to teach people anything.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad it made an impression on you. It's a little like, did you ever have a mustache?
Yes.
You remember those years? When was that?
Did I ever have a mustache, though? I think in the 80s, I looked like Pancho Villa.
Right. You had the mustache, right? And which I could kind of picture you with a mustache. Now, do you remember... It was just about, I would imagine, about 20 years ago, you shaved it off. You remember?
Yeah, I got rid of it.
Okay. Well, you remember after you shaved it off, you asked yourself the question, what was I doing with a mustache? It was like, it becomes confusing.
Yes, okay, I got it.
You say, what was I doing behind that mustache? Because once you had a mustache and you shave off your mustache, you don't think about growing your mustache back. You don't want to get that soup all over your nose again. You don't want your hair dipping into things. You don't want to kiss people and have your nose getting in the middle of it and your nose hairs.
Absolutely.
So it's one of those things. This is, of course, there are people who enjoy their mustaches as they are. But once you get rid of something that you're hiding behind, it's hard to remember why you were hiding in the first place. And you're one of these guys.
Wow. That, I love that analogy. That's brilliant. Thank you.
Okay, Pancho.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 212. An ex-Pancho Villa, right? 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Sure.
Mark. You tapped on something. I think you said something like men readily give advice when not needed, and women don't. They just kind of listen. I don't know if you said that, but I find that with my friendships, it's really the reverse. Women, you just vent to them, and they say, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. Do this, 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 and this, and all your problems will be solved, or they're also judging you. And men just say, kind of, at least my friends, my limited experience, I'm sorry to hear that, and they just let you vent your problems.
That's an interesting thing that you've got.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
No, I know. Listen, I'd love to be wrong.
Experience.
But it's an interesting thing because that tells me that the women you're relating to are older than you. In general, that they have
younger than me.
How about they have a dominant position with you? They believe. You see, when you're the kind of person who people believe they should tell things to, they do. People do.
And you could. And I'm the type that you could.
You're the kind we could instruct you around. But meanwhile,
not instruct me around, but you could tell me what I'm doing wrong, and I'll take the criticism. You know, I give and take.
Do the women who are around you, who you're talking about, do they tell you how right you are?
I'm never right, so I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. once in a while, yeah. I don't know if that's such a pattern. They don't tell me how wrong I am, but this is what they do. If, let's say, something with a woman, they'll side with the woman who they don't know.
Mm-hmm. So it has to be in your presentation.
If I'm explaining a woman's situation.
Yeah, it has to be.
If the woman is their friend because we women got to stick together kind of thing. Now, me, if a man does something wrong and I don't know him, I don't know him. It's just I'm sticking with whoever's my friend. That's
well, yeah, but what if your friend does something wrong and he says to you, for example, last night I stepped out on my wife, I went to a place, I was hanging out at a bar with a lady, and we were flirting a lot. We didn't do the whole thing, but, you know, we really got it on pretty far, and then I went home and I didn't tell my wife about it. What if a man says that to you?
Tell him, he's not wrong or right about it or anything. I'll tell him it's not the right thing to do to
you
flirt
do say
with
that?
Other women. But I'm
you,
not going to...
Do you say that? Do you say that it's not the right thing to do? I thought you don't advise your men friends.
Sometimes
you do. Okay.
Sometimes I do.
So sometimes you take the woman's position.
Well, I'm not going to totally judge him on something like that. It's human. It's
okay, but we went from total acceptance.
99% acceptance?
99% acceptance. Hey.
You know.
I hear you.
But I'm not going to beat him over the head. I'm not going to beat him or her over the head for doing that. If a woman does something to a man, I'm siding with whoever's the friend of mine.
Yeah, I hear.
We're not taking sides.
Of course.
You know, but
of course.
Like
but
woman,
there is something in you that does inspire dominant behaviors by women you know. That's what we're saying. And so the real question is, what is it in me that inspires that?
I don't know. I don't think they're being dominant. I think they're just showing they're showing their opinion.
Okay, but critical opinion usually comes from a dominant person. Because usually, like we said, the usual thing is the other way around. And maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, Mark.
Hey, thanks. You're always a pleasure to speak to you. And I try to be very Armand DeMille-ish in my...
DeMille-ish?
In my conversations with friends.
This is the new one. Somebody else, you know what they said we were today? He said he was an Armandillo. I like a DeMille-ish. Armandillo DeMille-ish. Thanks a lot for calling in. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi
my
there.
Name is Karen.
Hello, Karen.
And I'm calling in regards to my communication with my husband. And basically speaking, when I ask him something, he never responds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like if you want to go out to dinner tomorrow night.
Right.
And then when I'm really upset, I'll sit there and I'll explain to him, perhaps even raise my voice with him, what I'm upset about, and he never responds. Ever. We've been married 23 years.
I wish I had the time to go over this with you today. But I'm going to have to ask you to go to my website and look up stonewalling.
Okay.
Stonewalling. I hope it's on there. If not, call my office, and we will find a copy of that program for you, because it was a very special program I did on these paths to relationships and some of the things that are happening. And what you're talking about with your husband is stonewalling. Because as long as he could just stay like a stone wall, you could keep beating your head up against the wall and nobody gets hurt but you.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, he doesn't get held. See, on the other hand, he's missing some tenderness. So it's something that you need some different way of appreciating or understanding. You may need a third party involved.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for you because you sound like you're somebody who needs to be held yourself.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, I will do that. I appreciate your time and your program.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Yeah, I appreciate this program, too. 212-209-2900. Time for one quick last phone call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is George Armin.
Hi, George.
How you doing?
Good. We got about 1 minute. What can we do?
All right. I'm in a newer relationship. I was friends with this girl for about 6 months. Now we've been dating for about another 6 months. We've known each other for about a year. And I notice, you know, we've been pretty heavily dating, but we don't, you know, we don't talk every day. We don't text every day or email. And all the other couples around us seem to find this very strange. I guess you could say we don't have the best communication. But, you know, in order to maintain a progressive relationship, how often do you recommend a spouse should talk to one another?
Oh, you could do it any way you want. Gee, as far as I'm concerned, if you sent each other mail, you know, old mail, it would be fine by me. No, it's really just at your comfort level. Nobody has a judgment as to what's right and what's wrong. For all we know, between texting, you know, it's just done so much, you know, that maybe you're finding a path to something else. So I can't tell you what I think is great. As long as it feels okay to you and there's no pain involved, sounds like you're going to find your own level.
Okay.
Got to go, George. Thank you very much. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Going to have to be going. We will be back with you Tuesday at 1 p.m. for more exciting stuff.